Greetings and welcome everybody to Great American Golf. That's right, Ray Adams here, your caddy for the show. Good morning, good morning. Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in and listening. Wow, what a bunch of golf we have to talk about. Tons going on, and I think the biggest news in golf, of course, is the Women's U.S. Open. But Jack's Memorial is big, too. And Lucas Glover has had a few things to say about some people and drivers. And we've got to talk about that. And Dr. Bob Denny is with me right this minute. Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional, will be joining here along the way. Thank you so much to all of the sponsors that make this show and my Monday Golf Lifestyle show happen, both airing right here. And they sit here on Saturday and then on Monday, the Golf Lifestyle show on thegolfnewsnet.com. They air multiple times, and then after that, they are sent over to iHeartRadio and Amazon and Spotify and Pandora and what else, Apple, and all the places that you like to get your audio and listen to your podcast. So that's pretty much what we are now. We are a podcast. That's a radio show that is being recorded, goes out to the internet on demand and streams. That is what they call a podcast. So radio show or not, 25 years at it, and I'm still at it and loving every minute of it, and loving my sponsors, one of which, of course, for many years, Tour Edge. You know, Tour Edge is in Chicago, and they are the home of Tour Edge for, well, 30-some years. David Glaude, the founder, CEO of the company. We had Tim Clark on, the president of the company, here not long ago. You can go find that show and listen to about 25 minutes with Tim Clark, an industry warrior stalwart, was with Wilson forever, and then now he's over at Tour Edge. Tour Edge is celebrating 20 years of their Exotics brand golf clubs. And these are the ones that you play with, I play with, and lots and lots and lots of PGA Tour players are playing with Exotics over the years. And their brand new Exotic 725 series is there. The E725 driver provides the ultimate in forgiveness and stability off the tee, while the rest of the 725 series is packed with innovation, folks. You've got to get over to touredge.com for more on the Tour Edge Exotic 725 series. Again, touredge.com. And I also want to thank all of the Father's Day gift guide. Yes, Father's Day coming. And my Father's Day gift guide is out. It's gone. It's been sent to tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of you golfers, both men and women alike, all over the USA. And if you want to be on my next send on any of my gift guides or my send outs, then you've got to write to me, golfadams@msn.com. golfadams@msn.com. Television show Match Play with Ray Adams. There's a brand new one, a 1-hour TV special coming right here to the Golf News Net, folks. You go to the TV tab and find it, and it'll be there all month. For Father's Day, coming out, a 1-hour Father's Day special starring Lee Jansen, a 2-time U.S. Open winner. Well, of course, we did it during the June month of U.S. Open month, and we're going to be having a lot more about that. Then it goes over to Roku and Apple and Amazon and wherever it all goes, so that it is streaming there through the golfnewsnet.com. Father's Day gift guide. I want to thank Squares Golf Shoes, Serta Fresh Cigar, The T-Clip, Dottie Green. You're going to know exactly what your putt is from now on. It's a rangefinder for the green. Vacay Mode Travels, the Tally Tumbler, Ashworth Apparel. Of course, you've got to get there for these great companies. Go to their websites. I'll give you more, certainly either later or on the Monday show. All right, Dr. Bob Denny, here he is. We had to do a little bit of sponsorship work there, Dr. Bob, but thanks for joining. Lots going on in golf, and I want to say a shout out to the NCAA Division I men from Arizona State University, the Sun Devils, winning the stroke play part of that. And that's been recently. There's a lot of other golf too, a lot of other golf going on. Bob, I'm going to start with you and let you take it off. What do you want to talk about? Oh, and I know
Well,
nuggets are coming too.
Ray, I think it's unique that the PGA Tour Champions is also a depot for those for second chances in life and second chances in their careers. And look what happened with Angel Cabrera winning the Senior PGA Championship, and his second major in as many weeks. I won the tradition before that, so he's making the most of his chances to get out of a difficult thing in life, and it's just a perfect example of how a great player of the regular tour can transfer over. He's got two majors on the regular tour, and now he's got two majors on the senior tour, and I think he was the 12th in history that I counted that's done that. Which is pretty special. But anyway, he's making the most of his second chance in life, and all credit to him. So he did very well at Congressional, which is not an easy golf course anytime, and did very well. So give all credit to him. So that's my thoughts for the quick nugget on Angel Cabrera.
Well, and we had a wonderful Memorial Day holiday in our country where we remember those that gave their lives so that we have the freedoms that we have. I was inspired on Monday. I was with friends. Then some family came into town Tuesday, but we did not have a show out of respect for everybody who was with their family and friends on Monday, Memorial Day, remembering those that gave their lives for us, Bob. And thanks for bringing that up and about Angel Cabrera. Yeah, he's got a nickname, doesn't he? I believe it's called El Pato,
Yes, the duck.
the duck. And I guess that's because they kind of teased him about how he walks a little bit like a
Yeah,
duck.
he kind of waddles and bobs.
Well, we've got a lot of nicknames for a lot of golfers. Sometime we should have fun and just go through a bunch of them. I know that, pretty much every golfer out there is given a nickname by their colleagues. And, it just is what it is. I was watching some recap of the 1986 Masters earlier today. And of course, the Golden Bear, one of the great, great nicknames of all time, the Merry Mex, Lee Trevino, and we can go on and on and on, but we won't do that today. So congrats to Cabrera. Yes, he's put his life back together after some hard times, and we wish him all the best. Now, the memorial's happening, the LPGA at Erin Hills. Dr. Bob, what do you make of the ladies? Let's start there and talk about Erin Hills. And we're going to get to that leaderboard.
Erin Hills is it's an amazing complex. It looks like Lynx Golf again up in Wisconsin, and it's just quite a complex. And right now the scoring is e evidence of the challenges of that complex. And Japan has the leader at right now, Mauro Saigo, at 8 under par and heading into the weekend, and making a move up the leaderboard. Nelly Korda posted her best U.S. Open round of 67 on Friday, and Sarah Schmelzel, who's never won, who's a good player in the Solheim Cup for the United States. She is making a run at it, and she's going to be probably ending up at the end of Friday night into second place. So it's turning in quite a battle.
After last night. And Sarah Schmelzel, I interviewed her at the Ford Championship here in Phoenix several weeks back, a couple months ago, whatever. And Sarah is from, she lives in Phoenix, and she gave me her number. We exchanged mobile numbers. Sarah's going to sit down with me. We're going to do a television show with her. And I'd love to get her on camera. She's a delightful young lady. Great player. Love to see the leaderboard because there for a while, the last couple of days, there wasn't really There weren't really any Americans in the top 8 or 10, but Saigo is amazing from Japan. And then you've got Shibuno. What is it about Japan? And I was reading a little bit about their programs, the way they bring up their golfers, the Japan tour, the professional tour in Japan, is one of the most contended tours. It's very, very, very competitive. And when they finally get here, they are really ready. Bob, tell me a little bit about these Japanese players.
Well, I had the pleasure to meet some Japanese players when I was working for the PGA of America full time. I got to meet just on the male side, Koki Aidoki, and Koki was the first male from Japan to win a major in the United States when he won the Senior PGA Championship at Belle Reve, beating, and that surprised everybody. But he put a 65 together in the third round, and he was just fantastic. My point is, I got to also meet some women players and also some women administrators from the Japan PGA. And what I learned from them is not only do they take the game very seriously, but they're growing up in their junior ranks are quietly becoming mechanically sound, very amazingly disciplined in their play. And if I had a short game like any of the players I watched in the last few years, I think I could have made some money on a small tour because their short game technique is so good, and they just have a calm attitude that looks calm on the outside. Maybe they're churning on the inside, but I'm so impressed by their players, Ray, and I just think they have so much depth, and they're quietly contending so well, obviously, with their partners across the sea there in Korea. So they, which has done so well over the years. And I'm just so impressed by just the way they mechanically sound, and they have a repeatable swings. As an amateur watching it without Craig on the broadcast with us, I'm watching them as technically sound.
Well, and I've talked to them over the years. The Japanese players are so glad to be in America on the LPGA Tour. They're all smiles. They're very, very humble. They're hard workers. It doesn't take anything away from any of the other players on the tour from anywhere in the world. But they stand out a little bit. And of course, they're very close-knit. So I'm so glad to see Saigo. She is already a major championship winner. But I'm also very glad for the fans, for the folks watching this golf tournament, that we have some American players right there now. And that is Sarah Schmelzel, Nelly Korda, and you've got lots of other players from all over the world that are there. But we know that as Americans, we would like to see some of our own young ladies there on the leaderboard, and they are. So, lots to talk about when we get to the Monday Lifestyle Show and we do all of the wrap up of all of the world's golf, from the ladies' tours to the DP World Tour to, of course, this Memorial Golf Tournament, Jack's Tournament. So, lots happening there. I don't know. I would say that if it were me, I would love to see Sarah Schmelzel win this golf tournament, in that she will not only win her first LPGA Tour event, but she'll win her major. You always have to watch out for Nelly. But I don't think these Japanese players, of which there are three right there, I don't think they're going to be moving around too much. I believe they'll be there on Sunday afternoon, Bob.
Yes, they don't make a lot of mistakes, and their idea of a mistake is a missed par putt. They don't get in anything bigger than that. And I just feel that they're, like I said, they're technically sound. They find the fairways, and you have to find a fairway in a USGA event. As simple as that. If you do, you're fine. And those runoff areas at Erin Hills are unique. It does resemble as close as they're going to get to Lynx Golf in that area. And so it's the ground game. And when you play Lynx Golf, it's the ground game. And how well can you handle the putter from 30 to 15 to 20 yards off the green sometimes. That's a key thing to get back. So I agree with you. There's not going to be a lot of slippage there among those players. And we'll see if the American players can make any kind of a run for the next 2 days.
Absolutely. We hope that they do. So it's a nail, white knuckle nail biter when we get down to the last few holes. Erin Hills Golf Course is in, well, it's in Wisconsin. And this golf course is famous for the US Open in 2017. Bob, tell me a little bit about it.
Well, that's where Brooks Koepka, right? When he was a victory, and I just felt that that really broke it in. It broke it in for the national and the global attention to the golf course. Brooks was so strong at the time in his game that the wind didn't bother him, and he could just basically dominate a golf course like probably few people could of recent vintage. He just took over, and I've watched him hit some kind of shots from fairway bunkers that most of us couldn't handle. But he's just so strong. And the one thing about Brooks when he was winning and in his prime and in his streaks, I should say, he had a
Yeah,
good
he is
putter.
a streaky player, isn't he?
He could make putts, and if that was the big difference. It's more than just strength, but he could make putts, and that was a big point.
Absolutely. Now, Erin Hills, if I remember correctly, Bob, is a public golf course. Is that correct?
Yes.
That nobody can afford to play. So
Yeah.
therefore they get to get beaten up a little bit by me now. I mean, we have all these big major championships at what they brag around about being on public golf courses. Pebble Beach, Torrey Pines, Erin Hills. There's probably a couple more I'm not even thinking about. But no one could afford to play them. They're four and five and six, $700. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievably outrageous. Sorry, folks, get the green fees down so more people can play the course, so more people can enjoy the game, so more people can identify with what's happening during major championships.
I'd like to chime in, Ray, if I
Go
could.
right ahead, take
From
over.
June to September, you can just pop on the golf course for $455, and from September 29, October 18, it's $375.
Brilliant.
And if you're an
Cheap at any
active or
price.
retired military service member, 20 years, they say, active or retired, it's just $265. Juniors, $195. From mom and dad, and you can pop on the course anytime.
So $195 for a junior golfer. You shouldn't have told me that. Now I'm not going to rave on, folks. I'm going to do everybody a favor today, and I'm going to move on. $195 for a junior? Are you kidding my Irish whatever? Seriously, you would do that to a junior golfer? Get out. Lower your prices. I said I wouldn't go any farther, and I did. Thanks for riling me up today, Bob.
Yeah, I had to get that in.
Well, listen, Wisconsin's a beautiful state. I'm from Michigan next door. Beautiful golf courses. Erin Hill, one of them. Very difficult. The ladies are there. We're going to watch it. But when I turn it on and watch some LPGA US Open women's golf this weekend, today and tomorrow, I'm going to be not happy about that one. Look, charge $1,000 to everybody that can afford it. Go right ahead. I mean, I'm going to beat on you for doing it. But $200 for a junior? See, this puts the game out of the reach. And the game is out of the reach of so many juniors. And Julie Ingster talked about that at length when I filmed her a couple weeks ago. Her television show is going to be coming out soon. And she's going to be talking about the affordability and the availability of the game to the young people. And how so many families can't afford it. They just can't let their kids go play golf. They can't afford to do it, Bob.
I was so
I don't like it.
fortunate. I was so fortunate when I was a junior golfer that my dad could just drop me off at the course. He picked me up after about 6 o'clock at night to come home for dinner, and I could play all I wanted on a 9-hole, very fun little sporty course to challenge your short game and your patience. I averaged maybe 36 to 54 holes a day at the points just to practice, but I felt that was my little playground. That was my escape, and I learned the game there. And if that had not been affordable, I would never have been in golf and be talking to you today.
Well, you and I have the exact same story, and I don't know that I'm pretty sure I've mentioned it here, but my family, my parents did the same thing. On a Saturday morning, it was Papago Golf Course because their business was just up the road. We grew up in Tempe, which was probably 15, 20 minutes from Papago, and Papago is the famous golf course in the Phoenix area, big championship golf course, beautiful. We had Marilyn's tee there, so that's where I filmed Julie Inkster. Actually, no, I filmed her at Carolyn, forgive me, but I filmed Kathy Whitworth and others at Papago over the last few years. But that said, they would drop me off in the morning, they'd give me like $3, and if I remember correctly, golf was free for juniors. A city public golf course. And I would play with dad's friends who were all in the men's league and they would look after me. And if they already had a foursome, I'd go off, walk it by myself with my little pull cart, got a hot dog or a hamburger and a Coke for lunch, all the water I could stand. And the guys that I did get to play with, 36 to 54 holes like you, Bob, then mom and dad would come pick me up right around dusk. And this went on forever. So that's the kind of golf we grew up with, and we need to get that back for these juniors. We need to get it back. Okay, what in the world is this thing called the Memorial? Give us a little history here. Yeah, Jack's tournament, give us some history that Rory decided to skip. And I believe I read where he didn't even bother to call Jack, tell him or anything. He just somehow or other, his folks put him out of the tournament. What about that? How
Well,
rude, Rory!
yeah, it's especially the fact that one of the icons is still living. If he was deceased, you might think, oh, okay, well, but the host is still there, and Barbara's still there,
Absolutely, they are.
and I do know what Jack has done for the game of golf, and for all, and as for charities with his wife, for the health care of young people. And I still pay respect to the person who's done that, and highly respect what he's done, and as a statesman. And he's a statesman. And if you're not going to appear there, I think that, and it leaks out that this wasn't happened correctly, well, that's not good. And I feel bad that those kind of things have happened. But as a host, you got to pay respect to that kind of that host. The memorial is on a golf course that Jack called Muirfield Village. It's in Dublin, Ohio, and he was so enamored by his and surprised and embraced the fact that he won at Muirfield, his open championship. He wasn't supposed to win in 1966, I think it was, and so he tried to pattern a golf course that he could probably say would be his sort of like a tribute to Muirfield. He didn't want to call it Muirfield. He wanted to call it Muirfield Village. But he said, we started out with nothing. And I remember a Sports Illustrated interview with him recently about it. And they built it into something special, and it kept going and growing and so forth. And he kept tweaking that golf course from year to year. And we've had memorable finishes on it. Who can forget Paul Azinger with his head barely sticking out of the bunker and the camera catching him, and he knocks it in the cup, and he just sort of collapses in the bunker. I mean, we've had great Tiger finishes there. We've had amazing finishes by a lot of different golfers, but I just have been impressed by the way that community has embraced it, the way it's held its own over the years. 50 years, my goodness.
Muirfield Village, unbelievable. Okay,
Yes.
so The cut was at plus five. So you're looking at there's a lot of players, and some of these are some big hitters too. Great players. Lucas Glover didn't make the cut. Cam Davis. I mean, there are a lot of players that did not make the cut. Daniel Berger, Aaron Rye, Thigala, Schmid. So a lot of players, but there again, even getting into the tournament, not all that many are in the event. And when you look at it, you've got an interesting leaderboard, but
Oh, yeah.
not one that is all that compelling until you get to Scheffler. And there he is looming around. The tournament is a 36-hole cut yesterday evening, and they cut it to the top 50 plus ties plus any player that's within 10 strokes of the lead. So take over and
Well,
tell me about the Canadian Nick Taylor, because we know all about him.
yes, Nick Taylor, was it 2 years ago he made that eagle putt on the last green? Is it 2 years now? That time flies fast. And that was his major. That was Nick's major when he knocked that one in.
If he never won another golf tournament,
Yeah,
he is.
he'll be happy with that one.
Well, and
And
so will Canada. I mean, Canada
yeah.
loves him.
Oh yeah. And that's a golf course, excuse me, a golf tournament, the Canadian Open, that Rory's going to go to and warm up before he goes to Oakmont.
Yes, yeah.
And Nick winning that accomplished something that Jack Nicklaus has never done. Jack never won a Canadian Open. He wanted to win some, but he never got there. Ben Griffin, who won last week, he's tied for the lead going in the weekend with Nick Taylor, is 7 under. A former junior PGA champion, Akshay Bhatia, is 2 strokes back. Scottie Scheffler, 4 under. Sam Burns, 3, who is friends with Scottie, and had a great Friday round, 7 under. And Jordan Spieth is hanging down there, and
Yes, he is.
with Shane Lowry, tied for
Well,
fifth.
Shane has been playing great golf. He has not been able to break through. Xander sitting there, Henley, along with Spieth and Lowry, they're there at what, 3 and 2 under. So when you look at this golf course and you look at this tournament, 7 under for Taylor and Griffin, and then you drop down to 5, 4, and 3. And then, of course, your cut is five over. This is a very difficult golf course.
Yes.
But so are all of Jack Nicklaus's designs.
Sure. Yes.
I mean, the wonderful Jack Nicklaus golf course that's in Rocky Point, Mexico, at the Mayan Palace. Absolutely, Vedanta Golf at the Mayan Palace in Rocky Point, 4 hours south of me here from Phoenix. Is absolutely gorgeous. It's right on the Sea of Cortez, Bob. The wind is the factor. It's not only a difficult golf course anyway, by Jack Nicklaus design, but the wind literally it's prohibitive. I mean, I went out there two or three times to play a few holes, and I literally got out to the first tee, and I said, "This is crazy." I mean, the wind was blowing my clothes off. My wonderful Ashworth clothes. I mean, it was just blowing me to pieces. So I turned around. The next day I went out and I did get to play. It wasn't so much, but it's a big factor. It's a gorgeous golf course, very difficult. But this golf course it's his locus classicus. It's his opus, wouldn't you say,
Oh,
Bob?
yes. Oh, yes. And like I said, he's tweaked it several times, not several. Quite a few times. He keeps asking players for their feedback, and that's good. Pete Dye may not have made a big point of asking for feedback, but he listened to people, and then he went out and tweaked it the way he wanted it. And Jack's trying to say, how can I make this a better place? And he listens to the players. And he mentioned that in the story that I read in Sports Illustrated.
Yeah. All right. So, keeping in this vein, let's look at Bhatia. He is probably one of the more underrated players so far in his career, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes, and like I said before in this program, he The scorer's pencil is probably wider than his waist. But Akshay is an amazing shot maker. Lefty, he's a lefty. And I go back to the first memory I have of Akshay at Valhalla in the Junior PGA Championship, and he made an eagle on the last hole at Valhalla to tie that will probably relive in probably the one of the greatest junior shots I've ever seen, because he played the break so well. He's a smart technician, and I think that he'll win some more. I like to see him break through and win a major as soon as he can. It always does well for junior PGA champions. I remember David Toms doing it, and I was proud to see him when he won a 2001 in the PGA Championship, a junior PGA champion. Akshay has got the talent, he's got the skill.
You know what? If he won this golf tournament, I would be very happy for him. And I think watching him play on the weekend is going to be a lot of fun today and tomorrow. But okay, the elephant in the on the golf course is Scottie Scheffler. He's just better than everybody. And if he hangs around enough and has, it depends on a lot about what he does today, Saturday, but certainly, he's going to be in the mix tomorrow, Bob. I presume you agree.
Oh yes, and I also return back to the quote that Tiger Woods said about Scottie when he was observing him. He says, if he has a great putting week, he dominates and blows away fields. If he has an average putting week, he contends.
Did you hear
And
what Nicholas said about him this week?
I missed the comment.
He reminds me of me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know how you could have a com and I'm paraphrasing. Those were not the identical words, but they were 99% close. He's a lot like me. And when Jack Nicklaus says that about you, holy mackerel, Andy, you were just elevated up onto the Mount Rushmore of golfers, if Nicklaus says that.
Yeah. Jack managed a golf course better than anyone. He took forever to putt sometimes to get that putter back.
Lee Trevino, let me interject, Bob, and then I want you to keep it. Lee Trevino told me Jack Nicklaus had the greatest mind for the game and the management of the golf course of anybody in history.
I would buy that. And I think it was two shows ago I mentioned his schedule of his career. The first 8 years he was in the 20s, then he brought it down to under 20 for his total entries. That means he was focusing more on the major championships, and he was a like you said, he was a navigating himself around the golf course, just like Mr. Trevino said. He was a great thinker, and look at his records. My goodness, 18 majors. And I think 35 runners up in that range, something like that. Imagine if he'd those numbers had just changed a bit, no one would catch Jack ever.
You're listening to Dr. Bob Denny. He is the PGA of America's historian emeritus. And I'm Ray Adams. And of course, I will be back with you with Bob in just a moment. We're going to keep talking Memorial. We're going to keep talking some players. And you can write to me, golfadams@msn.com, if you have any upcoming charitable golf tournaments that you want me to promote, if you have upcoming galas, walkathons, bowlathons, anything like that. By the way, because we're streaming now all over the country, which we have been for a number of years, but now that we're on the Golf News Net, and then we go over to the big podcast platforms, which you can download onto your phone, listen in the car as you're driving to my shows. I just want to let you know that there are so many things going on around the country. And if you want me to promote that, mention it, do a little promotion there for you, write to me, golfadams@msn.com, about any charitable event coming up. When we come back, I have a mention about Rocky Point. Someone has already written to me while I mentioned it, Dr. Bob, and the Nicklaus course there. When I come back, I'll have a word to say more, and then we're going to continue to talk golf with Dr. Bob Denny and you and me. Stay right there and help me and yourselves by listening to these great sponsors and their products.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic tea holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theteeclip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
All right, welcome back. Great American Golf right here, right now. Ray Adams with you with Dr. Bob Denny. Thanks for being there for us after the sponsors. You know, folks, because sponsors make it all happen, and I do this all for you, and I have a lot of fun doing it, as well as all my guests and co-hosts over the many, many years, 25 years. We're well into the 25th year. We're going to keep doing it and having lots of fun. I mentioned I would come back and talk about Rocky Point. Listen, if you're in the southwestern United States or wherever you are in the country and you want to go to a beautiful part of Mexico near the U.S. border with the Sea of Cortez, and you want to go to a gorgeous place with some beautiful golf, and not just the Jack Nicklaus Vedanta golf course there at the Mayan Palace, but there's another Jack Nicklaus course on the other side of Rocky Point. And then there's another championship golf course there. I actually even won a tournament there several years back. Wonderful place. And so I want to let you know that Rocky Point is a very safe place to go to. The corridor from the Phoenix area down through Arizona and to the border there, absolutely safe. You've got about a 1 hour drive, 45 minutes to 1 hour, once you cross the border into Mexico to get down to the city of Rocky Point and the sea, and just great food, great people. Everybody is so friendly. The police are friendly. I'm telling you, they're so nice, and everybody is. And I'm working with Rocky Point to help them to have we folks get down there and vacation with vacation down there, play golf down there. I'm telling you, the food is unbelievable, the fresh seafood. But then one more thing I want to let you know. You can go to welcometorockypoint.com. Welcometorockypoint.com. Now, this is Alicia Villarreal's website. She's the broker and the owner of Soluna Peñasco Realty. It's called Puerto Peñasco, technically. Everybody knows it as Rocky Point. And Alicia is an unbelievable real estate agent and broker. She lives in Rocky Point. She also lives here in Phoenix, but she primarily and exclusively sells real estate in the Rocky Point area. Absolutely unbelievable variety of places that you can buy, that you can rent, that you can stay. So you want to get to welcometorockypoint.com and get in touch with Alicia Villarreal. Bob, we're back.
Yes.
We were there at the golf course and the memorial, Did you get a chance to have a look at the difficult level of this golf, the difficulty level of the course?
Well, I've never visited Muirfield Village, but I have studied it in many times in stories, listened to the comments, watched the tournament many times, and it is a precision second shot golf course, and that there's no question about it. And Jack Nicklaus's courses demand that. And but I just am impressed by just the elevation changes of some of the greens, and that accounts for those with who are the best shot makers. Mr. Scheffler is certainly capable of being back there in the winner's circle because he is a shot maker. He's a excellent iron play that and how he putts. Well, is this going to be the week that he has an average putting or above average? Well, that's the determination and on that golf course.
Well, I was watching Sepp Straka play for quite a while the last couple of days, and he's now at plus three. Did not have the rounds that he wanted, shooting a 74, 73 Thursday and Friday. Hovland, the same scores, 74, 73. These guys that are down there at that plus level, Tommy Fleetwood is down there, Maverick McNealy, your buddy, that your favorite player, Ludwig Aubert, is at plus two. I don't know that they have a chance. What say you?
Now, I would say unless on moving day they've catched three strokes to move up the charts,
They
I don't think they don't.
better shoot a 65
Yep.
or a 66
Yes.
today,
Right.
or they're out.
Right. I still like Ludwig for one reason. He doesn't waste time. I like the way he plays, and he's a young guy who's going to have a lot of talent and come on, and simply because he's got a repeatable swing, Ray. That's what I noticed.
Listen, Ludwig Aubert can win any major of the four out there. It would absolutely not surprise me. I met him, talked to him, interviewed him, got a photograph with him at the Ryder Cup in Rome a year and a half ago. I'm going to presume I'm going to see him at the Ryder Cup at Bethpage Black this coming September, where I'm planning on being and doing tons of videos and representing a wonderful sponsor that will be sending me to the Ryder Cup. So, with all of that said, Ludwig and those guys down there in the middle, Ricky Fowler's there at plus one. I mean, we would really have to have a major faltering at the top of the leaderboard. Scotty would have to not play all that well, probably today or in the morning. And then we'd have to have these guys that are at that even or plus one really play lights out golf
Right.
today and tomorrow. So it's going to be a fun tournament to watch. We're going to keep doing it. Okay, let's keep going. We have a couple little things to cover here, and I hope everybody's excited about it because Lucas Glover, who did not make the cut, and many people think he should have been on the Ryder Cup, the losing American team in Rome, but he wasn't. Lucas Glover had a few choice words to say this week. Take us through it, Bob.
Yep.
I was surprised when I read it.
Well, he came out on, I think it was SiriusXM, and he talked about his thoughts about the non-conforming drivers and the tests that are being randomly used for the field. He says he'd been trying to think all morning and all day how to say this without sounding like it's going to sound, but most guys don't give them their real driver anyway. He's talking about those just who try to give a backup driver head for the tests for non-conforming drivers. And what it boils down to, and for the layman, is the driver heads would wear down after a period of time and not meet the standards that are under the strict rules of the game and the USGA testing and the major championships and many of them are the other championships like the significant excuse me the those significant championships, I'm trying to get the word out, have the testing on site. And players can skirt the test, but if they don't show the actual driver that they're using by giving a backup one out of their bag or something like that for the test. It only takes about 15 to 20 minutes to test the driver anyway. So, but,
Okay, now Bob, let me kind of stop you here now. If a player knowingly is having a test, and if a player knowingly has a driver that they're going to use in play, and a player knowingly gives the test people another driver, is that cheating?
I think it's in the realm of cheating, in as if a pitcher on the mound is using some kind of substance and has it in his back pocket and sort of rubs it a couple times on the baseball, and he's not caught, and the umpires don't notice it. There's all kinds of ways to skirt the rules, Ray. And if a person loves their driver and they don't want to turn it in, that's telling me that they don't want to have it tested. Okay.
But
And that
Scottie Scheffler had some words on this. Go ahead and tell us.
Scotty Scheffler said his driver didn't conform, and he had it tested and he replaced it.
And it happens all the time.
Yep,
It's
happens all the
routine.
time.
It's
Yep.
routine. And but now Lucas Glover comes out and says, "No, wait a minute now. I guess he knows it. He's seen it. I don't know what, but players are knowingly not having their main driver that they're going to use in play tested because they love the trampoline effect on that driver." And they're, I mean, I don't know what the other word would be. If you knowingly do this, you're cheating.
Just for the explanation for the listeners, when the test results are green, they pass. Yellow, getting close, and red, they fail. They are kept at confidential to prevent a routine matter from getting too much attention, which
Now,
was the case at the Quail Hollow. But Scotty had his, it failed. He went and put another one on, and he won the championship.
So see, there you go. You don't have to skirt the system. You can
No.
still win with the correct driver in your hands. And Rory brought a lot of attention to himself, as he has done again this week, by not making comments about the fact that his driver was non-conforming. Okay, no big deal. Stay ahead of the story. We've already spoken about that a week or so ago. He didn't do it, and he didn't call Jack. Rude. And so I don't know. Rory is, look, we all like Rory, and he's a great player. I mean, my goodness gracious, look at the driving distance. I saw a chart the other day. Bryson DeChambeau is at 333. Average driver. Dean Burmeister, 328. Joaquin Neiman. Can you believe Joaquin Neiman? He's a small man, wiry, 327. He hits it farther than Rory. David Puig, from Spain, over on the LIV Tour, 326. Aldrich Potgieter, we know him. He's been in the news on some leaderboards the last few months, 326. Nicklas Norgaard, 320, Rory, 319. And then comes Svensson at 316. So, I mean, Rory hits the ball a ton. I don't think that Rory intended at all at any level to cheat. I don't believe he would ever do that. Do not believe that about him, Bob. I don't. But he should have addressed it. Okay, he didn't, whatever. He should have called Jack. He didn't, whatever. These guys that are hitting these drivers, and they're just putting these drivers through a grueling beating with their swing speeds and, of course, the ball and their distance. I don't even know how these drivers can stand up to it. But I know that you had a comment about the manufacturers, and tell us what you think their role is.
Well, I don't think a manufacturer wants to come out and be the manufacturer that cost a major champion his chance to play in a championship or have it fail or something like that. But I do know that by reading just the larger part of our golf industry media, top writers, people that cover the tour every week, they are pointing to the fact that manufacturers will test the limits of their products to meet the requirements of the non-conforming or the conforming test. So it's the manufacturers are pushing their product to the highest limit possible,
Well, they should, and they should.
and they're competitive. It's like that. But is that the way of trying to protect the player or protect the game? One of the two.
I think that they're protecting their brand. And I think because they pay the players and they outfit the players, I mean, I've only been, you've covered it longer than I have, Bob. But I've been covering golf and interviewing players for television and radio by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds over 25 years. And I mean, I know a thing or two. And I'm saying manufacturers are protecting their brand and they're building their brand. They're promoting their brand. Therefore, they go to the most famous golfers on the planet, pay them money, outfit them, in order to have their clubs in the bag. I don't think the manufacturers want to cheat. I don't think the players want to cheat, not any of them, although sounds like Lucas Glover thinks a few do by giving a second driver, not the main one. But I don't blame the manufacturers at all for pushing the limits. Now, if there is some, terrible, nefarious thing going on where everybody is colluding to cheat. I believe, like you just said, all these great writers and journalists and investigators and folks would figure it out. Even a Lucas Glover has figured some of it out already, it sounds like. What do you say?
I've watched baseball for most of my life and I grew up playing baseball and I've learned about what is a live bat or what's a live baseball. Some and products are meant to be performing to the highest standards and a bat could be, is also in a line with what some of the best golf clubs are in the world. And the products keep getting better and better, and they're tested under amazing laboratory tests and launch monitors, et cetera, et cetera. So you talk about protecting the brand. Yes, they're protecting the brand, but they're also pushing the limits of that when it comes to this test. And this test is supposed to be a barometer. It's supposed to be something to help level the playing field. Well, I leave it at that. And I'm all for getting the best products out there possible to make the game interesting and fun and entertaining. But if you're going to have a test and you're going to ask that of everybody, then it has to be something that has to be uniform for the entire field.
All right, we're going to leave those comments right there where they are, and I'm being asked for nuggets. I know that you have nuggets. We still want to have a few minutes to mention that we have a new LPGA Tour commissioner, and this is the 75th anniversary year of the LPGA Tour. So quite appropriate that we now have a new commissioner, and he came from the PGA of America, I believe, Bob. Let me have you comment on him.
Well, just a quick notice. He's 39 years old. He's the 10th commissioner in history of the LPGA Tour. His name is Craig Kesler. He was a COO of the PGA of America, and he also had been a gentleman who would work to upgrade and improve Topgolf. And that's his background in a small nutshell. But he's also a man who's done very well with bringing vision and new ideas and I think energy to the LPGA. He will go out there and work for building its brand and getting new audiences. I think he's capable of that. I sense that energy in him, having never actually met him, but I've listened to him speak, and all credit to him. And like I said, the LPGA is in its 75th year, and you got to celebrate the fact that where they've come from and how far they are, but don't lose the momentum. Build the American brand and interest. Build the entertainment value. Like you said, Ray, at time, let's have a live from programs on Golf Channel at the majors for the women. Let's don't forget that. Let's
Well, guess what?
give them the showcase.
They are having a live from the Women's US Open. I've got to give the channel that. They are
Yeah.
having a live from Brandel's on there, my friend, and Brandel and several other commentators are there, and they are at the live from desk, and I'm very appreciative of that. You know, I've been raving and ranting about that for years before you ever came on. I said, you're disrespecting the women's game. You need to do live from their majors. I don't
There's
know that
five
they're
of them. Five of them.
there's five majors, that's right. Now, I don't know whether they're going to do live from all the majors. I don't think they did it from the Chevron, but anyway, they're doing it from the US Open, and for that reason, it's a US Open. Okay, now finishing it up, PGA Tour is changing the Tour Championship, and I can't wait to hear Craig Renshaw. He was busy with some other scheduling conflicts and was not able to join us today, folks, but I'm sure he'll be with us on Monday, the Lifestyle Show, and we'll wrap up the world's golf, as I mentioned, right here on thegolfnewsnet.com, right there, Monday, 6 p.m. Arizona time. So I saw where the Tour Championship is no longer going to put the golfers with their FedEx Cup points in their order, and then give them start them off at the Tour Championship under par by a certain number of strokes based on their FedEx Cup point ranks when they get to the Tour Championship. Everybody starts the same at even par, Bob. What do you make of it?
I'm all for that. I just thought
I
that was
like it.
a. I think that was a. It was not a good way to have a tour championship end up with a staggered field based on points before you and strokes behind before you started. That's like being in a Triple Crown race at Belmont, and the horse who's favored is five lengths ahead of the field at the starting gate. That's not the way to have it.
Stupid. Well, you know, I've been covering the FedEx Cup ever since they created the FedEx Cup many years ago on this show, and I've been commenting about it. I wasn't ever always that thrilled about it, and I don't know really that a lot of other people are either, but it doesn't matter. It is what it is. The Tour Championship is, I think, a wonderful event, and I'm always excited to watch that event. The playoffs, ish, meh. But I think that starting everybody at zero is absolutely the way to go. And this is just one of however many over the years tweaks that the tour has done to the FedEx Cup Championship to try to make it more interesting, try to make it more somehow or other compelling, better, get the players really involved in all that, which was the whole reason of having the FedEx Cup Championship, was to keep the players in and keep them playing. But I think it's a great idea. I'm glad they did it. It's going to be fun this summer. We are in championship season, so we have four majors, and we have the ladies' majors, and of course we have the Tour Championship, and then of course we are in Ryder Cup year in September. Unbelievable. Great time for golf, great time for everybody to get out and play golf. You are open for business golf courses around the country. I know there's some weather going on around the country, Bob. Are you guys getting any weather down there? But I know that there's been lots of rain and wind and some inclement weather around the country. We're actually even going to get a drop or two tomorrow, I'm told, here in Phoenix, of all places. But of course, you get a drop or two, and then it dries up in a half a second. That said, once we get through the weather, these courses are open, folks. Get out and play, have a lot of fun, practice, do your chipping and putting, chip and putt and putt and chip. The rest of it will fall into place if you can putt and chip. If you can get up and down from 25 yards almost every time, now your score is down. I don't care where else you put it. I mean, unless you drive it out of bounds three times, of course. But with that said, so Bob, what's your weather like down there? And what's your advice for the folks playing golf?
Hydrate. It's very warm and right now with limited breeze. And next week we begin hurricane season.
Oi.
And so you got to get those rounds in early. And what most people do that they go out before 10 o'clock and usually in the clubhouse by 2 o'clock. So that's sort of a symbol of when you get to be summer golf in Florida. I have a nugget for you, Ray.
Yay, let's
We're
do
at the
it.
we're this is the 30th day of May, and in 1937, Denny Shute won his second straight PGA Championship. The last person to he's the last person to do that before Tiger Woods did it in 99 and 2000. And Denny Shute had one of those peaks and valleys that I sort of think is almost like what happened to Bernhard Langer. Bernhard Langer bogeyed that last hole in the 1991 Ryder Cup. Well, and cost them the Ryder Cup. Denny Shute three putted against in a singles match in Southport, Lancashire, England, to give the Great Britain and Ireland the Ryder Cup and his. But a week later, 2 weeks later, he goes to St. Andrews, beats Craig Wood in a playoff to win the Open Championship. So he was a man that recovered from that, and then he won two PGA championships quietly in his lifetime and earned his way in the Hall of Fame. And so all credit to a man who most people don't remember, Denny Shute.
Well, I remember the name from history, but I don't really know anything about him. That's a great nugget. I'm glad you told us that. A couple of PGAs, lots going on around the world of golf. We're going to end it right here. Dr. Bob Denny, PGA Emeritus Historian from the PGA of America. We'll be back on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show to wrap it all up. Lots of fun. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. It is always a joy to do this. I feel I'm the most privileged and I'm humbled by it. To be able to be your host on Great American Golf and the Golf Lifestyle Show and Match Play with Ray Adams Television. Make sure you go to thegolfnewsnet.com. Start there today. Hear the shows. Start there Monday for the evening show. And then you can pick up at the golf, at the TV tab, my television show, Match Play with Ray Adams, and a new one for Father's Day on the way. Be watching for that. And we will be back with you then. Have fun and play some golf.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.